The 20th and 21st of December 2012. More than just dates on a calendar, as this Mayan celebratory extravaganza is proving.
The following takes place between the hours of 3:02 a.m. and 4 a.m. GMT.
See, this is the period where if I'm watching the box set of 24, I'm thinking, oh, right, 11 hours. Now, do I stick around for the rest or do I actually do something completely different? Is it sort of just too much? Is there something that's going to pique my interest in this kind of mid-season scenario? Yes, there is. It's Steve Court and it's the fantastic world of Lincoln-inspired. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm very good.
So here we are. You've arrived just as Graham has actually left to go and get some sausages. And he's been accompanied by Ed Wellman. So Ed and Graham will be returning. We'll be doing some live links, etc. You're going to be doing some performing things for us because you've been getting some sleep rather than actually listening to the show kind of building up over the last 10 hours that we've actually been doing this sort of thing for. So welcome aboard. I did like the text, by the way. Am I still needed for 3 a.m.? Of course you are, my boy.
I like the reply that you just said.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. No messing about in any way, shape or form. As you say, the Mayan celebrations are within us. Have you seen the Nicaragua piece? We've been promoting that fairly heavily. Would you like to have a
I've seen bits of it, yeah. I had my wife reading it to me last night while I was doing some
Siren
things, FM
will link up live with American radio station team. That's what we've been doing regularly. We're going to have a little bit of a musical treat now. After which we'll find out about your own views on the Mayan calendar. I think it's only right to save the performance until we've actually got a full BAFTA award-winning director in the studio, because I'd hate you to do it and then he's missed it.
I agree. I think wholeheartedly agree with that as a statement.
Yeah. I mean, don't listen up. We are aware that you're there. We hope you're there. We connected with you on that sort of point of view. We're not going to sort of be, you know, we're not dissing the listener, but at the end of the day, got to bear in mind, this is employment opportunities we're talking about, really, you know, and more. Traverso. Technically, Lawrence Traverso. Marvellous stuff there. Ed has returned carrying bottles of gin. No water! That's what it's all about. And we've just heard Steve Court is in the house. Hurrah! Oh, Ed's left the house again. Oh, well, never mind. See, this is... it's almost as though you want to be doing it standing up, really. I often think, should I actually do the whole thing standing up? Should I actually do it standing up? Does that actually help at all in terms of energy? Not really, you know, I've got to say, not really. And I've often thought, if we do it standing up, if somebody comes in a wheelchair, aren't you being a bit patronising if you actually sort of stand up all the time? It's a moot point. You might like to have a thought about that. If you'd like to contact us and you're wondering what the heck is happening when normally it's non-stop music at this time, interspersed with jingles celebrating the delights of Siren 107.3 FM on our Mayathon extravaganza. Well, it's because we are doing a Mayathon extravaganza. We are actually celebrating the end of the Mayan calendar, which actually finally wraps up at the end of the 21st of December in the year 2012, after having been going for how many years, do you think, Steve?
I'm going to say, because I should know this, because I should have researched, yeah. I'm going to say about, I don't know, a thousand years.
5,125.
That's what I said, yep.
Close, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's just sort of part of the whole sort of setup that we've got there. As I said, we may have some rural input into this particular sequence of the show as well. We'll probably actually attempt to connect with Phil Dinner, who's getting very excited because it's very soon now when Ilana Rain from New York will be meeting Phil Dinner from Los Angeles, Dean Haglund from Canada, for the very first time. They've only communicated electronically. I don't think they've even spoken, in fact, before today, but thanks to the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM, that's what they'll be doing. 2012 was a wonderful year in November because we launched Lincoln Inspired for the benefit of insomniacs or people who are sort of thinking, Lincoln Inspired, why is that sort of mentioned as an important part of the whole thing? And why, if I look at page 63 of the Lincolnshire Echo, do we get any mention of Lincoln Inspired? I don't know whether we do, actually, to be honest. We may do. Oh, it's got page 63 has vanished. It's a different line from that, but it's another mystery. Let's have a look at another sort of version of the whole sequence that's actually there. And, well, yes, I mean, basically, we're a 24-hour showcase of everything that is great about Lincoln and Lincolnshire. That's for any American listeners who might be there. So, you know, Lincoln Inspired is what it's all about. Great Lincoln Inspired. And Sarah Bullimore isn't here because I think she's elsewhere with her dad. What's it all about?
Well, we're creating a new arts festival for Lincoln. And it's basically there, and it's called Lincoln Inspired because that's exactly what we aim to do. It's about creating sort of arts opportunities for people to be inspired, to come along and join in, to take part, to come and experience things. One thing we have as a... as a city is we can be sometimes a little bit on the fringes of the cultural world. So we get some fantastic people arriving here, and there's not that network of people to know what's happening and know what's going on. So we want to be there to, A, advertise the great stuff that is already happening here, but also to try and draw in that new talent and to give people the opportunity to take part in things themselves as well.
I believe Graham Harper will be part of a Doctor Who panel.
He will indeed.
Knows that. We'll talk about that when he actually arrives in the studio. Hopefully he's not listening to this and is running for the hills, you know, having already done the whole sort of setup from that perspective. Okay, it is the Mayan calendar celebration, or as Dee World would have said in her jungle ident.
Phil Leonis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Haglund in downtown Los Angeles. Alex Leftuke, Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, and Tasha Turney in downtown Lincoln, England. What's not to love, especially if you're measuring time via the Mayans?
Yes. So, do you think we should actually reward Dee World by playing one of her versions of The Power of Love, which she actually put together? I mean, she's been promoting jingles and doing various jinglettes for us for some considerable time. I mean, I think if I just hunt through the system here, we might even be able to find her Midweek Drive jingle that she actually puts together for the Midweek Drive, strange as it may seem. Sometimes you find yourself saying things, you know, like they think, this is the Midweek Drive jingle that she put together. She's not going to do it together for any other show, is she? But just because...
Created for another show.
So, yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, this is, I mean, you know, you can actually judge this on the basis of how successful, Steve, you think this is going to be, Purple Tree Creative Productions, on the basis of whether we will play D-World's Power of Love or not. Okay? This is the 48 seconds, bit of a marathon in its own self, really, for a jingle. But this is her thoughts about the Midweek Drive. You sat on another show. I host the show, you know, co-hosted it together. This is what Dee thinks.
The Midweek Drive on Siren FM 107.3.
Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
This is who we are.
Coffee house hermits from Lincoln, England. We're all travellers in space and time.
With strange characters.
And it's the one with the nose.
I absolutely love her.
And surprises galore.
A free concert. Think of it as being sung to by Elvis Presley.
Unusual discussion topics.
Why would you want to give every child a water pistol? It was a bit like choosing between kittens and babies.
That will make your ribs soar.
You have really done your homework. Aw, thank you.
That's what we call show business.
Join the Midweek Drive team every Wednesday from 5 till 7 on Siren FM 107.3.
Except, of course, we won't be here until the 9th of January. Okay, because after we've done our 25-hour piece, I feel it's only right that we actually gave Mr. Computer a rest and handed over to all the other fantastic nuggets of gold that there are in Siren FM. But what do you think, Steve? Do you think on the basis of that little jingle ident, she deserves to actually have her tune, The Power of Love, put together?
Oh, 100%. For being able to pick out all those nuggets of Alex Gold from her show, I think that's definitely worthy of a song.
There we are. Well done. Another little acoustic treat there. I have to say, if I'm being honest, I much preferred in terms of acoustic scenario 2012. And we'll be playing this again very shortly because I think it's one of our fabulous scenarios, of course, from Pip Mountjoy, who joined us just before midnight, which was only a matter of 3 hours, 18 minutes ago now. Wonderful. It was sorted through. Now, Steve, no pressure, but obviously you're in the midst of greatness here when you have both, obviously, Graham and Ed in the studio. Clearly, you know, would you like to just share with the listener and our guys here your kind of history of performance, the establishing of Upstage Left Theatre Company, the kind of things you actually do as a matter of course? Ed's choking with emotion at the sort of sense of the water that's here. It's okay, Ed, it's all right. Let it go. That's sensibly one thing. It's one of the reasons why I thought if you can actually do social networking and videoing at the same time, I would be totally amazed. You know, some things you just have to leave. After all, where's Tasha Yar? No, she's on Star Trek. Of course, Tasha Turney. Very easily confused, one of them. Tasha Turney, Tasha Yar. Natalie Tuck's on her way tomorrow, so we hear. Anyway, share with us, Steve. What's the Steve Court life story?
In a nutshell, the history of me is... started off, as most people do at school, you know, doing school shows and school productions and lots of Shakespeare and musicals and all those sort of things. And then I met a beautiful girl and moved to Manchester. sort of abandoning life and everything that goes with it. And
is it the same girl who's actually on the Facebook photographs of yourself?
It's the same girl that I'm now married to.
I can understand you moving to Manchester.
I always say, not just punching above my weight, but playing an entirely different sport.
There you go. Hope for us all.
So I moved over to Manchester. I happened to fall on my feet and met a few people who were doing shows and productions and things over there. So managed to, alongside the day job, start doing some acting work. Did some brilliant stuff over there, which then got me interested in writing. So I started writing a long time ago with Stuart McPherson, who I eventually ran Upstage Left with. So we've been writing and talking about writing for a long, long time. And then eventually we got to a point where we just said, you know what, we need to just go and do it, which was probably now about 5 or 6 years ago. So we again fell on our feet when we had a conversation with going, it's all right that we said we're going to do it, but how do you just go and do it? And we started speaking to Simon Hollingsworth, who I believe is on here with you later on this morning.
I can tell you exactly when Simon Hollingsworth is joining us as the director of the Lincoln Drill Hall. If I point to Ed, he will actually
I'm going to guess 9:40.
Really?
Because I wasn't studying your planner a minute ago.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah, so... So we had a conversation with Simon Hollingsworth at the Drill Hall and just said, look, we've got all these ideas. We'd shown our scripts to a few local theatre companies and they'd all said, we absolutely love it, but we just do Shakespeare, or we love it, but we just do musicals. And it didn't really fit in with what they were planning. So we spoke to Simon and said, look, we've got all this great feedback, but what do we do? And he was kind enough to organise giving us the Drill Hall for an evening. So the first production we could then afford to do, so that went and happened, and it sort of snowballed from there. It's just every time we've then performed since then, there's been somebody in the audience who's gone, oh, I'm just planning a festival for next year. Or we had Sarah Bullimore, who Siren know very well, was sat in the audience on the opening night of our first show and just said, oh, it's brilliant, I'm just organising the book festival for next year, would you come and do something for us then? So we sort of snowballed from that to the point that we've now done, I think, 8 or 10 productions over the last few years. So it keeps growing from there. But alongside that, I've always been really keen and really interested in the performance poetry side. So I've been doing lots of that recently, trying to do lots of writing.
And that's pretty much what we're going to have performed for us this evening, Graham. You see, a little bit of Steve Court live in your face performance poetry. You might have missed the carol singers earlier. Well, actually, we've still got one of them here. It's Ed Wellman, Barrett bass. It's bass, isn't it, or baritone?
Yeah, either is fine.
Either?
Yeah.
Right, OK. Do you want to give a little shout-out to your parents, by the way? Will they still be listening, sort of saying, there's our son, you know?
My mum could well be listening. Hello, Mum.
Nice.
I set her Grundiger Music Boy to 107.3 FM.
Grundiger Music Boy.
Yes, that's her radio.
Boy, sounds brilliant.
Keeping it real in every sense of the word. But time, of course, before we go into performance scenarios here, for another Mike Dooley totally unique thought from the universe today.
You know how the wind, no matter how blustery, remains as silent as it is invisible until it meets with leaves and kites and flags and such? Well, it's exactly the same with the manifesting forces that make dreams come true, until they meet with expectation. And right this second, they're whirling all around you, my little chiquita. Happy everything, the universe.
Yeah, little chiquita, fantastic stuff. Okay, well, sorry, Greg, bemused again.
Yeah. Well, I've listened to that.
Exactly. Just hopes the thing to get slots together. That's the important thing. Thoughts become things. Choose the good ones. Time for more Mayan music. I'm very tempted to actually do what I call my Gerry Anderson dance to that, which is the strings. I might do that before the end of the show. Very good. You know, one hand up for mild embarrassment, two hands up for complete shock. It's very good. You know? I save it for Shane Rimmer. He's on later on today. Still, never mind. It's true. The exciting thing now, though, is, yes, Steve Court is about to stand up, and Graham, he's going to perform for us. He's going to do a wonderful little monologue. It's being recorded for posterity, sincerity, and a number of other arty words as we celebrate a whole range of things before we connect back again with Los Angeles to maybe go back to Ilana, maybe back to Dean, maybe back to Phil Leonis, maybe on to Ethan Dettenmeyer. But now, yes, pray silence for the wonderful man that is Steve Court.
Thank you very much, Alex. Just for the record, just to keep it clear, the answer to everybody's question, which is how long is it until Alex breaks, is, I believe, 11 hours and 28 minutes. Okay, just for the record books. There we go. The first one I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to do a few sort of staggered over the next couple of hours, I believe, is, because I'm here through Lincoln Inspired, is by someone who's inspired me. So this is by a brilliant, brilliant performer called Disraeli. Performs with a band called Disraeli and the Small Gods. And this is one of my absolute favourite pieces. This is what made me go, I have to go and see him everywhere he is, whenever I can be there. So we'll go for it. Who's this? Another poet with a messiah complex, thinking when I write a concept it stops the nonsense, but God chuckled, and so I let go. I started playing African drums in the car park of Tesco, my heart is vast and growing. I speak in power riddles, casting poems out through the drab and the drizzle that drives down and penetrates the shoppers' coats. One office bloke gives me a look like, you can't stop this bro, but I can bang a drum until my hands fall apart. And if it makes one shopper dance, that's my calling answered, my reason for playing from the evening to the morning after. I carry my flames like stigmata through the falling darkness. And in the rising light, I hit the goatskin. The nature of sound means it always finds an opening. And this time, I'm hoping it might find your lug hole. And if it does, I'll flood your subconscious with a drum roll, because it's the movement. What the movement? None of your rulers can stop the movement. Because it moves in the veins of the movers, their brains in the boots and the strains of their music. It's the movement. What the movement? None of your rulers can stop the movement. Because it moves in the veins of the movers, their brains in the boots and the strains of their music. Now that's my primal ish, son. My tribal rhythm bounces somewhat manically in the cavity of your sinus system. In order to fill your brains with this ethereal medicine, you might just find yourself beatboxing in the cereal section. Or tapping 4/4 beats on tins of corned beef. Or slapping a solo on a slab of mature cheese. The manager's called Steve, and he comes over to chat to you and he says, please do not practice drum patterns on cans of tuna. It's very distracting to the consumer. But in mid-opus, Steve freezes, and his eyes switch focus. He grabs a pack of Kitty Cat and starts to shake a Latin rhythm with it. And the shelf stacker Dave is rapping bits of lyrics. He's very gifted. And within a minute, Dolores from Storage is chipped in with a sung chorus in Zulu. They never knew she could do that. It's hard to believe Steve is beating the bass on two vats of margarine, and Dawn from Customer Services is busting verses over the PA. And Gary, who has a nervous twitch and a weak brain, is stamping out the hardest beats on the counter of the pharmacy, scattering paracetamol rather than anarchically. And before long, the whole supermarket's deep with raw song. Someone's even found some frozen cod they can play chords on. Four long hours later, you step out in the fading light with a new perception of space and time. And in the car park, this weird guy is playing a djembe. What a weird way to waste a Wednesday. Yeah, in the car park, this weird guy is playing a djembe. What a weird way to waste a Wednesday, you say.
Wondrous, wondrous, and the crowd have duly just gone crazy for the whole thing. Splendid. So, Graham, are you going to be giving Steve a part in your next opus?
I'm standing here,
yes,
sitting, watching you, thinking, I wonder if he can act. Huh? Isn't that extraordinary? Mm-hmm. God, that was absolutely terrific. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't.
No, isn't that that was my joke, because you just performed completely as a character, completely different to you. I thought it was brilliant.
And there's going to be another one coming up in the very near future, indeed. I'm going to be handing over the pressing of the buttons, for a few moments at least, to that wonderful Ed, who's going to sort of things throughout whilst I actually go and just basically sort of just get myself geared up for the next sort of range of things from this particular perspective before, of course, we go live to Los Angeles and a whole heap of other goodies as well. So we've got Brandon Flowers, we've got the Alan Parsons Project, and we've got Perry Como lined up. I suppose technically, Graham, I could actually tell you which buttons to press if you could be relied upon to press them in the right order. Do you think you should do that? Yeah, okay.
Oh,
no, it's a tough call. I'll keep the chair specially warm for yourself as we sort of raise on this particular perspective. So, in order, sit down, take a chair there, marvellous, etc. We're going to start off in a few moments with this one here, and all you need to do is press that one there for play three, and then when that finishes,
go to the first one.
That's it's already up there. Don't worry, you just have to put that one there. Okay, pay attention at home, please. Play three, then when that finishes, play two, and then I hope they'll be back while we finish off with Perry Como. All right, so come on, let's see if you can actually do play three first. This is it.
Are you ready for this point?
George, he's got it. Bit of audio perfection there. Perry Como wrapping up a triple whammy of delights here on Siren 107.3 FM, where it is actually currently 13 minutes to the hour of 4 a.m. That's 3:47 and 2 seconds, if you want to actually be precise on this whole side of things. And why are we doing this? Why are we doing this, Graham?
Yeah, why are we doing this?
Why? Why isn't it just Mr. Computer? I mean, you know, it's not a case of we're doing the shift of all sorts of things here, moving into our 12th hour shortly, performance
I know
productions.
What
why?
It's to celebrate the end of the and maybe the whole world's going to come to the end.
Exactly. And in many ways, as I say, the celebration of the Mayan calendar, which, as I say, has been running for a little over 5,000 years. I mean, Steve, you're pretty much accurate when we were sorting that that whole thing through there. And here we are again, basically. So change your shirt, change your underpants, ready for the next sort of scenario. Because obviously the first sort of scenario, I always feel if you don't have a change of underwear at least once every 24 hours... It's not really good, you know. I have clean undies. Anyway, that's my advice if you're considering doing a marathon of any sort of state of nature, etc. Make sure you've got clean undies, otherwise you could have a Paula Radcliffe incident and that would be very embarrassing. Steve, your first piece was so sensational. Are you pretty much ready for another one shortly?
I can do another one. I think it's quite important, though, as we've done there, that we just point out that Alex did go somewhere else to change his underwear and that it isn't just some sort of
nice.
Really happy community.
Yeah. Well, there are certain things I think you need a certain bit of privacy, dignity, etc. I would not wish to sort of I just wouldn't, you know. So what's this next one, Steve?
This next one, again, I said I was going to do some by the people that inspire me.
So hold that thought. We might well be able to actually go live to Los Angeles and we might well be saying directly to Phil Leonis. Are you there, Phil?
I am here. Are we on the air already?
Yes, of course. You know, we don't mess around these days. Bang, straight in there, no messing about whatsoever.
Oh my god, we need to be running inside the Eastern Columbia building to start a test to get our show up and running. But I am sitting with Alana Rain and the lovely Barbara and the lovely Sabina, two film students from Berlin via Memphis, who are here with us for our leg of the podcast-a-thon.
Yes, yes.
The Mayan calendar marathon. So There's all sorts of exciting things taking place here, not the least of which is a rum concoction that I just drank in about 10 seconds.
Fine. Not that we're advocating alcohol in all sorts of other areas to actually work through this, but if it helps you get through the wee small hours, that's fine. It's currently... Yes, it's not gin, Steve. It's water. Okay? That's what we're about here. You know, in Lincoln,
it's
England...
It's green.
Which episode of Star Trek did that come from, Graham? Well, I thought you would have actually known. It was quite clearly A Rose by Any Other Name, the title by any other name. Little quote there, straight away from Star Trek. But you're a Doctor Who man. I understand that.
Give me one of those.
Listen, I gave you a copy of Spectres in your hand, which starred Dete Hanglund earlier. This man, Phil Leonis, directed Spectres. He directed The Truth Is Out There. He, again, is a wonderful person. We actually, in fact, we haven't shared the tale of how Graham and myself actually met. I recall Graham. It was John Nathan Turner, producer of Doctor Who at the time, who said, I've got this fabulous new director. Would you like to feature him on your show? I said, yes, we connected from that point of view. Was that pretty much how you remember
it? Yes.
Yeah, that's it. And 26 years later, here we are. You know, more than that from my view.
I've worked since... for 26 years.
Phil Leonis claims that within seconds of me doing an interview with Louis Savvy, the director of Sci-Fi London, he just got off a plane from New York and I'd already sort of bombarded and bamboozled him into an interview in a regular slot on the show. I don't know, Phil. Is that the case? He's gone. Are you there
at
all?
No, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I was answering questions from Alana about the Dobermans that will be in the studio with us. I heard the story. You told the romantic story about how Louis Savvy introduced us. And you immediately thrust the microphone in my face, and I passed the test. It was the Kobayashi Maru of broadcasting. and I do not believe in the no broadcast scenario. So yeah. I was there with you, Alex. Because people love, I I've been doing the Chilpack Hollywood Hour now for almost 6 years, and I can tell you this from personal experience: no one loves hearing anything more than on-air production meetings. So let me tell you this.
Yes.
As soon as I am off with you, I am sending you an email with the in-studio phone number that you can reach us from this point forward.
Hey, Ed has almost gone to another level of nirvanic experience just on that statement. Listen, as a director, and it's no pressure obviously on Steve Court, who is a director as well, but he's also a performer and actor, these are just short little vignettes and pieces. Steve, this is a transatlantic performance, obviously, for this point of view. Obviously, Graham passed the audition for the first thing. This is where, you know, drama idol goes global, okay? So are you set for the... Phil, can you stay with us for a couple of minutes while Steve Court presents a wonderful... In fact, we can bring Ilana on and she could actually be a fourth director. Are you set and ready to perform? Phil, are you ready?
Am I ready for what?
Are you ready for Steve Court's performance?
What's the performance?
What's the performance, Steve?
It's going to be a spoken word piece by... Actually, by, I'm going to change it, and I'm going to do one by an American writer called Taylor Marley.
An American writer by Taylor Marley. Are we ready for this, Phil?
Okay, we are sitting on in a sidewalk cafe in downtown Los Angeles. What could be a better setting for a spoken word performance?
I've never had such a glamorous audience before in my life.
Go, Steve, okay. Go!
So it's by a guy called Taylor Marley, and this one is called What Teachers Make. So I was at a dinner party recently, and I'm there with lots of my friends. And my friends, we're all at that age now where we're turning 30, and our life has changed. We've stopped being about who can score the most goals on FIFA and who can stay drinking the longest on a night out, and we eat food. It's very come dine with me. We're all about analysing canapes and drinking wine. And I'm sitting there looking around the table, and I realise that all my friends are now doing very, very well for themselves. Some are counsellors, some are managing recruitment agencies, some are solicitors and accountants, and I'm a poor and struggling writer. And I'm sitting at the table, and I'm thinking, I go into schools and I do some teaching just so that I can afford to pay my bills and survive. And we're sitting at the table, and James, the investment banker, pipes up, and he says,
I mean, I don't know what we expect our children to learn from someone who's decided their best option in life is to become a teacher.
I bite my tongue instead of his.
I mean, it's true what they say, you know, those that can do, and those that can't, well, they teach.
Again, I resist the urge. I also resist the urge to remind him it's also true what they say about bankers, but he has to continue.
I mean, seriously, Steve, you're a teacher. I mean, honestly, what do you make?
And I really wish he hadn't done that. You know, ask me to be honest, because I have one rule when it comes to both bottom-kicking and honesty, and that is, if you ask me for it, then I have to let you have it. So I stared him in the eyes, and I said, you want to know what I make? I make kids work harder than they ever knew they could. I can make a C-plus feel like a medal of honour, and I can make an A-minus feel like a slap in the face. How dare you waste my time with anything less than your very best? I can make 30 kids sit through 40 minutes of English class in absolute silence. You will raise your hands. No, you can't work in groups. Why won't I let you go to the toilet? Because you're bored, and you don't really need to go, do you? I make parents tremble in fear when I phone home around lunchtime and say, Hi, it's Mr. Court. I just wanted to speak to you about something your son said during school today. He said to the biggest bully in the school, Hey, leave that kid alone. I still sometimes cry, don't you? And it was the single most noble act of bravery I have ever seen. I make parents see their children for who they are. I make parents see their children for who they can be. You know what I make? I make kids wonder. I make them analyze. I make them criticize. I make them apologize and mean it. I make them write, and then I make them read. I make them spell definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful, over and over and over again so they will never misspell either of those words again. I make them show all they're working out in maths, and then I make them hide it on their final draft in English. I make them realize that if they've got a brain and they follow their heart, and anyone ever tries to judge them based on what they earn, they give them the finger. I stared him in the eye, and I said, let me break this down for you. Let me break this down for you so you know that what I say is true. I make a difference. What about you?
Phil, earlier you were moved and inspired by our carol singers. How did you feel about that, sir?
How many people were in the studio? I mean, I definitely heard Rupert Everett deliver part of that performance.
Yeah.
I mean, there were many august performers. You can't tell me that was one person.
That is one person, Steve Court, the man behind the incarnation. And without any script whatsoever. You know, that's the key thing. No script, straight to the form. Straight to the microphone, there's the performance.
That's amazing. Love the spoken word performance. We love it as an art form. It's gaining some traction here in Los Angeles in that it does draw big performers, I mean big audiences. It just doesn't get the press that it deserves, but audiences really spark to it here. So maybe you'll be coming stateside soon.
All the dream can exist.
The lad from Lincoln and all sorts of things happen there. Now, I know you're heading off into the studio. Is Ilana behaving herself? Is she basically what you were expecting, i.e. a wonderful human being? Phil?
Oh, Ilana?
Yes.
Is Ilana what I was expecting?
Yes.
There is no way to actually expect Ilana. You can...
Yep.
It's very postmodern right now because Alana is sitting 2 feet away from me.
Nice.
But reacting not to what I'm saying into the phone, but to what she's listening to on delay through your broadcast.
Sensational. That's what you call true media Cylon-based scenario there. You know, we are all Cylons. Big shout out to Alana. Hello, Alana. Say hello to Phil for us. It comes through on delay in various other ways, etc.
It comes in on delay. I'm on delay, too. Did I mention the big rum drink that I had? Okay. Alex, I have a lot of equipment set up to do, so I'm going to bid you adieu.
We'll see that.
Alana sent you an email with the studio phone number. Feel free to call us.
We will be with
you.
We will be with you about an hour. Hopefully, Ethan Detmeyer will be up after the news shortly from us, from my point of view. Phil,
you know what's exciting? You know what else is exciting, Alex? I figured out a way that we can piggyback your link. We can piggyback your feed without you needing to do anything. So we will be able to effortlessly switch over to your final 3 hours. Tomorrow morning.
You'll have Martin. You'll have Martin.
Your
Jarvis.
Evening tomorrow.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of magic we have going on over here.
This is a round of applause for Phil Leonis and his magical fingers and magical technical team. And we'll be back with Phil and a whole range of things very shortly while he gets his equipment set up, etc. Do we have time to actually go to Linda Ronstadt? No, we'll have to sort of focus that on the second hour of the whole production. Ethan Detmeyer hopefully should be up very shortly. We have the return of Randy Reinholtz and Jean Bruce Scott in the next hour that's established from the whole point of view. Steve, you know, I know when we said 3 a.m. in the morning, you looked at me a little bit bemused, really, when you said, yeah, 3 a.m. in the morning, etc. Any regrets now?
No, none whatsoever.
There we are, you see. That's Graham, you know?
No, I'm really happy.
Thanks.
Heard of that.
Ed, you know?
I'm still here.
Still here. Still sorting things through. How is the social networking coming on? Is that all right? Are we getting...
It's very good. I need to ask Steve if you're on Twitter.
Is he? Yes.
Oh, right. Okay, we need to swap.
Exactly. Should be followed, etc. I've just actually taken the signal from Los Angeles down from that perspective. So that's exciting. And we're working through a whole stack of other bits and pieces as well. So do we have any time for music? Not at this particular moment of time, but a whole heap of other goodies will be coming through. And we're actually almost on to page 4. Well, actually, we are on page 4. We're actually approaching page 5. And, of course, 5 a.m., when it's 9 p.m. in Los Angeles, is when the Mayan event, as far as Peruvians are concerned, because it strikes midnight in Peru there. And actually, Steve, you're still at 5:20, so that's good. So that's sorted out from that. Sean O'Donnell, the coordinator of the Battlestar Galactica coordinating thing, is around as well. And then we hopefully will be going over to New York to speak to Ashok, who actually deals with pet dental care, special toothpaste for doggies, and Christmas lights. Yes, you heard it first on Siren 107.3 FM. Here's the news from the Sky News Centre.